With little money to her name and little experience in the world beyond Alkenstar, Cassandra chose to walk. She walked inexorably north along the Ostradi River, first across the mana wastes, her artificial muscles carrying her farther each day than most humans could walk. She needed little sleep. She still wasn't sure that what she did was sleep, but for a few hours each night, at least, she dreamed. Not every dream was of the mountain and what lay beneath. Cassandra dreamed she was herself, but in another age, another world, another country. It was always her, but the memories were not from her life. There were others in the back of her mind, and they were trying to tell her something, trying to tell her worlds of things, if only she could learn how to listen. For the most part, she stayed off the main roads. It seemed safer that way. Bri had granted her a modicum of magic, to be sure, but something about being a novice traveler alone on the road felt unsafe. Days rolled by in a serene kind of silence, with only her quiet footfalls in the dirt or the gravel, the occasional birdsong, and all of those other Cassandalies to keep her company. She passed into Nex and caught a ride in a wagon train bound for Quandium. The traveling merchants seemed friendly types, who were willing to accept her clerical services and a few nights of guard duty as her meager payment for passage. And when the Ostradi hooked to the east, however, Cassandra thanked them for the ride and said her goodbyes and continued her inexorable march to the north. Though her days with the caravan provided welcome respite from the solitude, in the back of her mind, something stirred. Some part of her was happy to be rid of them, to be alone once more, to be alone with herself and herself and herself and herself. And this herself is and Pod herself. Against the Machine.
Against the Machine.
Welcome back to Pod Against the Machine, the only Pathfinder actual play that tickles your nose with nonsense organic matter. I'm your host, and here's everybody.
Hi.
Hello.
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 Previously on the program.
Oh, man. Dang it. I'm sorry.
pause for brain short circuit. previously on the program, the party was exploring the fungal caves, where they came upon a group of Migo along with a giant creature that gibbered. And it had a lot of mouths. That's right, it was a gibbering mouther. Yeah, that was a fun little fight of lots of confusion, lots of people attacking the creature that was nearest to them, and like a little bit of light surgery. But all in all, they weren't all that difficult for the party to deal with, except I think Hersek had a tough time, and he got gibbered on a bit. But after that, the party, well, they navigated their way further into the caves, and they worked through another chamber, decided to swing up to the north, where they found a big room with a column in the center. These rooms are, of course, all flooded with disgusting greenish water, but there's a little high point in that room, and there's a few columns holding up the walls. And as the party was exploring this room, some 10-plus-foot-tall, strangely flexible creatures squeezed their ways out of tiny little nooks and crannies in this room and opened their vertical mouths. And that's where we are now.
Let's smash them.
How dare you say nooks and crannies as though you weren't just slandering Thomas English Muffins, our former sponsor.
Sponsor no longer after that.
This is an Australian Toaster Biscuits podcast. Even though they've been gone for 2 decades, they still taste like they've got butter inside.
Irradiated butter.
How about everybody rolls for initiative as you're facing some monsters from season one of Stranger Things.
Oh, I'm still sickened, huh?
Oh, you are indeed.
Nice.
Oh, that's right. I was able to cure the disease, but not the sickened.
Ah, it happens.
So how about Tarazi?
Almost as good as it could get. A natural 18 for a 21.
Pretty snazzy, and that goes for both snakes, of course. How about Alowyn?
Alowyn got an 11 for an 18.
Brixby?
Brixby got a 9 for a 15.
All right. And how about Kira?
It's a 14 for a disgusting 20.
Disgusting indeed. Well, the good news for everyone is that these things seem to be a bit slow. Snake Squad's up first.
Wow. I was completely unprepared for that. Whew. Okay. Peeking at these things, they seem somewhat aberrant. Would that be a Dungeonero or a different sort of knowledge on them?
It seems Dungeonero-y.
Not great. Only a 16.
16 will not identify your squishy giant friends here.
I don't need to identify them to murder them, so I'll just do that. Levi will make a full attack from where he is at with the grab on the second. Although it may not come to pass with some hot trash rolls. A natural 4 and a natural 12. We are looking at a 21 on the second one.
21's not going to do it.
Okay. That was it's an embarrassing showing initially from Levi. We'll chat later. Then Tarazi will approach this one to which he was closest, the northwesterly, and take a single null blade swing. Another natural 4 for a dirty 20, and Snake Squad went first, but has nothing to show for it. That is the end of their sad, sad turn.
Well, as they say, first may in fact be the worst.
So true.
So that will bring us to the self-disciplined Hersic Kayo. I have to control this guy. Man, that's a pain. All right, so I think we're going to do a swift action studied target on the pleasant one to the southeastern side of the room. And then he's going to rush on over to it to protect his dear friend Alowyn from getting into melee with this thing. Vital strike, power attack, and take one stab with his rapier. Oh god, he also rolls a 4. Now I gotta figure out what his... Let's see, power attack... Oh, with the study target, that does it. Okay. I was about to be upset. Okay, so... I'm so good at math. 17 damage plus the sneak attack is 12 more for a total of 29 damage on the pleasant... one of these particular fellas. And that will be the end of Hersic Kayo's turn. That brings us to Kira.
All right. I'm going to try and hit it 4 times.
That's so many times.
Kira sees this thing step out and goes into an immediate rage and rolls, hopefully not terribly. Let's see. Oh, no. That's a 4 on my first roll for a 20... Hang on, let me make sure.
That's so many 4s.
26 to hit on the first one?
26 will hit.
Okay.
Smash.
Not much better. A 5 on the second one for a 23. Yeah.
23 hits exactly flat-footed.
Great, okay. And now let's see, I need a higher roll for this third guy. Nope, that's a 2. And that is an 18, so 2 hits.
All right.
I gather up a d6. 5, 9, 10, 13, 18. Oh no. 18 plus 50 is 68. 68 right. points of chainsaw damage at, I don't know its name, but the westernmost guy.
Well, it doesn't like that.
Good. I don't like it.
It's pretty mean of you.
That is the hippie gug.
You don't know what it is. How dare you? You know it's a hippie.
Excuse me, the hippie horrible face monster.
I assume Kira will be taking a 5-foot step away to hide from this creature.
No. I'm just going to hang out right here. It'll be fine, I'm sure.
All right, well.
Jeff is giving me a thumbs up. That means it's going to be okay.
The fabulous Alowyn.
The fabulous Alowyn. He has no idea what this thing is. He does know he wants to drop it in a hole, though, so make me a reflex save.
All right. How about a 19?
Ooh, that might be... Oh, no. Meets beats. Ah. So it does not fall in the created pit that is taking up all four of the spaces it's in right now.
For clarity's sake, that little island is about 5 feet above the, the ground that you can stand on, which is underwater. So you could still, like, climb up onto that. It would just be a move action, not a 5-foot step, which doesn't matter in this case because you still have it.
So yeah, he'll do that then. He'll clamber up on there, and that will be his turn.
All right, and Deep Asuma is flying right now. Does she have to, like, make a hover check or something?
Yes. Yeah, she does. She has to make a DC 15, I believe, fly check to hover. Otherwise, she has to move less than half speed and remain flying. Hover is 15.
And does the spell give you anything towards?
And yes, you do get a plus something to your fly check, I believe, when you get this. Oh, half of my caster level. So yeah, they have a plus 5 on fly checks. And it's dex-based, so I have to imagine.
Yeah, well, she's going to have an armor check penalty, but you said she gets a plus 5, and then plus 9, but then minus 3 for armor, so plus 6. She's got better than 50% chance of making the hover check. She does not. So what happens?
She has to move. All right. That's it.
All right.
Yeah, so she has to move like half or over half her speed.
All right, so I think she's going to basically wrap her way around the column and just go like 15 feet over to the northwest so she can keep an eye on the one that Tarazi was trying to hit. But she's also going to be far enough away from it that she can take a single shot with her zero rifle, deadly aim. And yeah, despite rolling a terrible roll, these things have bad touch AC. So 17 damage on the sociable one, not too bad. And that brings us to the escapist Brixby.
All right, Brixby is going to start off by rolling his own knowledge dungarees. Wow, I have a plus 13 and I rolled a 7, so just a 20.
Oh, well, a 20 even is exactly enough to tell you that this is a gug. Gugs.
It's a gug. Okay, sorry. I didn't realize I got more.
Gugs are, of course, inhuman monstrosities that dwell in the deep places of the world, whether they were banished to the dark lands by ancient gods or by the light-loving species they terrorized, or perhaps were brought to the deep realms by dark powers from some even more inhuman nightmare realm. No one knows, but Gugs are universally loathed by other creatures for their carnal rites of slaughter. That's fun. But unfortunately, it's not enough to get any questions on them.
I believe they're called Gugs. They're mostly mouth, so smash it. Smash mouth.
I use my reach spell, Metamagic, to mage hand an all-star sticker on Takira.
Thank you.
Hey, now. Instead, after learning about as much as the player knows, Brixby is going to pull out an eyelash encased in gum arabic and disappear. I cast greater invisibility for those at home.
That's pretty mean.
It is. So he is going to move 20 feet due north, putting him slightly close to his friend and beach dweller, Alowyn.
All right. Well, that finally brings us to the Gugs, which, you know, we finally identified. And if there's one thing I know about Gugs, it's that they like to hug. So the sociable Gug is gonna just try to hug Tarazi over here.
Does he have improved hug?
Oh, he's got the most improved hug. And he is going to... Well, first he's gonna bite and then he's gonna do some claws. But we'll see. We'll see how things go. 27 to chomp, I assume, does not.
It does not.
Claw number one, how about a 28? We're getting better.
Still miss.
Claw number two, how about an even 30?
Yeah, that'll do it, because as much as I'd like to get my favorite enemy to AC, I don't.
All right, that'll be 13 claw damage. Claw number three will miss, and claw number four will also miss. Tarazi is too hard to hit. Only one blow landed on him. That will bring us to the pleasant one, who is standing next to a pit, and there's a pit between him and his quarry. So... Well, I think what he's going to do is just sort of squeeze his way out around this pillar here and stop 15 feet away from both Alowyn and Hersic. And he's going to bite the guy that stabbed him. He'll be nice to Alowyn this time.
Yay.
Yeah, that's a definite success on the bite. So not too bad damage on Hersic. But he doesn't love it. And then the hippie Gug standing in front of Kira really has no choice but to full attack. All right, so this is going to be a lot of rolling. 30 to hit on the bite, 88 on the blur. That is crack die. Only 8 damage for that bite.
Okay.
Claw number one is more than 30.
It's pretty high.
75 on the blur. And 13 damage on that claw. Claw number two is 31. And a 23 on the blur.
Dang, so close.
11 damage. It's interesting that two claws have hit. That's something that is of interest.
Is it?
Damn it.
A 34 on claw number three. With a 21 on the blur. Cutting it close here.
So close.
13 more damage. And claw number four, we're looking at a, oh, this might be close, a 25 to hit.
25 will hit.
All right, 54 on the blur. And that is 10 more damage, and then because you were hit by two or more claws...
Don't do it.
You are going to be rended. Just
not rended.
Just a little bit of a rend.
Rending.
Oh, in the rend zone?
This Gug is going to give you a hug. Take you to the rend zone. That is 12 rendy damage.
12 rend. All right. Well, that was a fair amount of damage. Wasn't not no damage.
The hippie Gug feels pretty good about it.
Yeah, well, we'll see how long he feels good.
And that brings us back around to the snake squad at the top of round two.
All right. Full attacks from everybody. Starting with the goopy guy. Two misses from the larger snake. One was a nat one. We'll just keep on moving. We're looking at a 27, a 25, and a 23. Just going down by odds.
That will be two hits.
Okay. I remembered my favorite enemy bonus, gang. I'm doing it. So that is going to be 2d10 plus 32. 41 points of damage over those two hits from the Null Blade. Unless these are secretly construct gugs and I can roll that extra 2d6.
Weirdly, they're not. And... oh, it's my turn again. Hrsic. Hrsic didn't want to get stabbed. He feels bad about getting stabbed. Or chomped, rather. So he is going to take a 5-foot step towards this creature. Luckily, I miscalculated on where I put it, and thus he can still get a full attack off. So he's going to do that. First one's going to hit. No more sneak attack, though. Not a bad little chunk of damage there. Second attack is going to miss. And the third attack will also miss. Not great turn for Mr. Kaio. And the inscrutable Kira, you just got clawed and chopped and rended by your new friend.
I would just like to for everyone to recall that Kira also hit the thing with a chainsaw.
That's true.
A couple times, so.
You did. I was just going by, you know, the recency bias, the more recent thing.
Sure. Naturally. Well, Kira's still in its face, so we're going to go for another full attack. Let's get that chainsaw die out. These rules are not great, but that will be a 28.
28 hits.
That one is a 29.
Also hits.
Ooh, that's a little better. That is a 35.
Weirdly doesn't hit.
Dang, knew it. And a 18.
18 won't do it, at least.
So that's 3 hits. Let's roll it in the guy, because I like seeing little d6 pop out. Roll.
Lots of 5s. 6s in there.
Yeah. See, a good 114.
Dang.
Yeah.
Well, the hippie gug doesn't like that. It doesn't like that all the way to the grave. All right. Staying there? Going anywhere?
Oh, that's right. It's dead. Well, I did a full attack, so there's not a whole lot of places I can move, so I'll hang out here for now.
All right. Well, the fabulous Alowen is up.
I'm going to hope this thing is not mindless and cast a spell with a will save on it.
It's rather willful, though. But when you roll a natural 2...
So he has been hit with sensory overload, which is... very fun one. For the duration of the attack, the targets must succeed a will save at the same DC as the original effect. So you're looking at a 19 to perform any standard or full round action. So for the next 10 rounds, he has to overcome a DC 19 will save every turn to do anything other than move.
Oh, that's not very nice at all. And that was the pleasant gug that you did that to. Yeah, which is mean because he's so pleasant.
And then I am going to take another 5-foot step back to get out of his range if he decides to attack me instead of Hrsic. But yeah, that's my turn.
All right. Deep Asuma's turn. She's going to try to get that hover. And she actually gets it this time, so she's going to full attack. And she's going to, full attack with rapid shot. Got to switch to her again. All right. She will be making 3 shots at a minus a bunch. But she's aiming at touch, so it's going to be very easy for her to hit. So first one is going to be at the sociable gug, and she will hit. So that is 13 damage on the sociable gug. Not great. Next one, she's going to swing around and shoot at the other gug. And she will hit once again. Much better, 19 damage on the pleasant gug. And then she'll swing back to the sociable gug. And I actually have to check its touch AC again because this is close. Yeah, she still hits it. Alright. Asuma is done. The escapist Brixby is up.
Alright, so Brixby is going to do a pretty familiar action, but kind of have to make a statement at the top. We have been ruling sneak attack and scorching rays wrong. Thank you, Jeff. It is like many shot, so it's only applied to one of the simultaneous attack rolls that happen. So, for example, if I were to cast like the fiery shuriken spell, which I have, and attack with a standard action and then use a swift to attack as well, I could apply it twice. But when it is one simultaneous attack, even if it's against different opponents, even if I stay invisible the whole time, it's considered only precision damage for one of the attacks. So one of these is going to have sneak attack and then the other ones are not, if they hit, of course. And I'm casting these Scorching Rays towards the Pleasant. Is Pleasant the southernmost? Yeah, Pleasant. Gug, the one that has been harried by Hersek and my good buddy Alowin. All right, so that is a 23, an 18, and a 16 against touch. Flat-footed touch.
Yeah, the number you're aiming for is a 9, so...
Ah, excellent. So you're telling me that I get the critical effect of second edition of some of these rolls?
Sure.
Do you want me to roll the fire, like all those scorching rays separately?
All that damage can be mashed together on these guys.
Alrighty, so that is going to be 12d6 from the scorching rays, all three, and then an additional 5d6 on top.
Yeah, I'm just saying that because I want 17d6 on the screen at once.
Yeah.
And that's 63 points of damage, which is up there, but like I'm watching the melee fighters and on our party, like wreck face, wreck mouth, smash mouth. So I'm just trying to keep up.
All right, it is still up, but that was a big chunk. It is not looking like a healthy Gug any longer.
And I'm going to move. I'm going to take a 5-foot move, but it'll be like a 10-foot hover to like the disc has to go sideways and I slide off it slightly and then it gets me over the ledge. That's my turn.
All right. Well, that brings us to the sociable Gug. And it's no fool. It knows things are going kind of poorly and it knows it had a hard time hitting Tarazi, but at the same time, hitting is what it does. So it's just going to swing a whole bunch of times and see what it can do. First one is a 30 for the bite.
Yeah, rude.
Alright, so that is 11 damage on the bite. Claw number one is how about a 35?
Yeah, the 30 hit. You don't have to be like that.
10 claw damage. A 33.
Oh no, I'm going to rent town.
Notably multiple claws, but only 8 damage, minimum damage. On that claw. Claw number 3 is going to miss with a 27. Claw number 4 is going to miss with a nat 1, but we still get that bonus, that little minimum damage rend, 11 damage on the rend. So not the greatest, not the best that it's ever been, but that brings us to the Pleasant Gug's turn, and Jiro is right about the fact that Hersek did not roll to not fall in the pit on his turn, and that wasn't relevant until now, really. But we're going to roll his reflex save retroactively. He's got a good one, so 28 on that.
Yep, he beats it.
All right, so he's still...
Almost crit succeeds by 2 e-rolls.
He's still standing in front of the Gug, so that's good news for the Gug, right? Because... he gets to eat him. First one is gonna miss.
Actually, before that, your Gug needs to also make a roll.
Right, a will save. That is a 15.
That is a fail. Your Gug can only take a move action this turn.
All right, well, the Gug is unhappy. The Gug is gonna take a sort of 5-foot Slorpy-Doo just a little bit back to get some space here. And that brings us back around to the small army fighting against the Gugs at the top of round three.
All right. Can Levi hit? Let's find out. Oh, I think he got him on the first one with a 28.
Yep.
That's 16 points of damage.
Don't like that.
Only a 28 on the grapple attempt.
That will not grapple the Gug.
Yeah, that's bad. All right, three null blade swings. We can do this. Just move right along. All single digits.
Wow.
Plus enough, but not quite enough, you know?
It's a sad state of affairs.
It was bad. I was 1 for 5. That's the Mendoza line for all you MLB players looking at you, J-Rod.
Whoa. All right. That'll bring us to Mr. Kaio, who's going to take a 5-foot step back, wink at Alowen, just because, you know, Alowen did him a solid by stopping him from getting horribly mauled. And then he's going to try to kill this thing. It's going to hit. 19 damage. It's still alive, just barely. Next one is almost, yeah, natural 20. And that will confirm. This thing is super dead. Yeah, it's dead by... It's at a cool negative 30. It's super dead. That'll bring us to Kira.
Well, there goes Kira's kill steal. So instead... I don't know. She'll rapes up here in a very leisurely fashion. And just sort of provide emotional backup for her snake friends. Just in case something should go awry. Let's stand here on the beach. Yeah, let's get out of the water. And wait.
All right. Fabulous Alowen.
Fabulous Alowen is going to... You know what, he's going to walk around the edge of this little island he's on until he's got some good line of sight on last Gug, sociable Gug here. And he is going to cast that same spell again because it seems like they don't have very good will.
Natural one.
Okay, same thing.
Oh, someday I'll pass a will save.
I'm just happy to fight something with a will save in this book. Like, every enemy we've run into since we went into this canyon is immune to mind affecting other than these guys.
All right, well, that brings us to Asuma, who is flying up in the air, so she doesn't care that Kira's in front of her. She's going to make that hover check and fail the hover check. So she's got to fly back on down over by Alowen. Just kind of maintain cruising altitude and fire a single shot. And she will indeed hit pretty good damage. Well, it's not dead, but it's getting hurt. And the escapist Brixby is up.
How wrecked is this Gug?
It's definitely been bloodied for a little while now.
All right, that's fair. No reason not to use it. I got that greater invis still running. So Brix is going to move in a northwestern direction 15 feet, and then in a northeastern direction 5, putting him about 10 feet away from the remaining Gug, and he is going to let loose another series of Scorching Rays. Alrighty, that is lots of good rolls. The lowest one was a 21, so that's definitely all going to hit. And that is 68 points of damage this time. I'm sure it only had like 10 hit points left.
Oh, it had a little bit more than that, but you did upstage Hersek by taking it to negative 31.
Nice.
In case we're keeping score, we are out of initiative as the final Gug has fallen.
Yeah, I would have given Hersek a saucy wink after clearly outdoing him, but apparently I'm not the flavor of the month anymore.
Kira senses some tension.
It's cool. I'm going to disc away in a really, like, emotionally stable manner.
Brixby just texts the letter K.
Totally not crying while I disc.
Is everyone all right?
Basically.
I'm fantastic. This flying thing is super fun.
Yeah, it suits you well.
Levi is unharmed from this encounter, but I did take quite a few bites and scratches.
Oh, I can help with that. And he will heal you up to full, which just let me know how much you're down now. Roll till I get there.
70.
That sounds like that's going to be a cure critical. Possibly multiple of those. I'll do that off air.
Thinking about maybe doing a little detect magic and search of the room while the healing is happening.
Well, those of you who climbed up on this little land platform in the middle of the room could see that there's a bunch of stuff that's been stashed up here.
What sort of stuff?
I mean, some of it looks like, you know, bones and horrible, you know, bits of formerly living things. There's also some clothing in various stages of disrepair. There's also some gemstones and some money. Looks like there's a ring there and a wand, too.
Ah, yes, gug money.
Stuffs it in the bag. Now, so a ring, you say, is that projecting? Is it giving Mr. Magoo?
That is some Mr. Magoo going on there.
All right. I would like to roll a spellcraft. Despite everything I'm rolling being like affected by sickened. Sickened is brutal. It is really just across the board, -2. All right, enough whining. That's a unnecessary 19 for, a 36, not a 46. Not there yet. That's a 36 with a 17.
You're looking at a ring of counterspells.
Oh, what?
And this particular ring of counterspells has a cone of cold already stored in it.
I am not currently on the Archives of Nethys, but that's one of those things where you can cast spells into the ring, and then if it's being cast at you, you can be like, waha, uno, reverse.
Yeah, it's kind of like a ring of spell storing, except that, yeah, if you get hit with the spell that's in it, it'll automatically counter that spell.
Whoa, like a free action?
Yeah, you don't even have to do anything. It just, it's gone.
We're going to get coned of cold real soon, people. The book is very much giving a clear warning. Red flag there.
So this assists in counterspelling. You can cast spells into it. And if they're cast on you, then it uses that magic that I've done once or twice that cancels each other out. And it just kind of goes, but
you also identify that wand, which is a wand of touch of slime, which is a spell that I hadn't even ever heard of.
Isn't that the cold damage one where it like makes you slow?
It gives you, let's see, you coat your hand with slime, which gives you a melee touch attack where you can put the slime on someone and it deals 1d3 points of constitution damage per round.
Wow. Gross.
If it kills a creature, if the slime kills that creature, it consumes that creature's body, which is cool and super weird.
So that would put that at like a DC 17, because it's a fourth level spell. Fortitude save. Put the slime on people.
Alolan.
I don't know, wait, can you even cast this? I guess this is a sorcerer. No, yeah, it's a sorcerer spell. So it would be on your spell list. And a Blood Rager if Kira wants to get slimy.
Please don't give me any more spells to do. I haven't used the ones I have.
Fair.
Yeah, I mean, of the two active spellcasters, I'm cool to like roll for the Ring of Counterspell. I don't know if you're also interested in it. I could see the argument just as much because you have a lot of spells. So I don't know how you feel.
Yeah, I think he'll hang on to the wand and let you take the ring because I'm trying to remember what I have now. I have Asher's ring that still has a couple of charges in it, and I forget what else I have. I have another ring, probably like armor. Yeah, ring of protection. Yeah. And I don't really want to take either of those off, even though I very rarely remember I even have the Ring of the Ram. At some point, it's going to be useful. I can feel it.
I mean, it's not a bad thing. So yeah, again, for the folks at home, it allows you to cast the spell first through sixth into the ring. You can't cast it out of the ring, like Sam said, like spell storing. But instead, if that spell is ever cast upon the wearer, it just comes out and as a counterspell action, requiring no action or even knowledge on the wearer's part. It's just a good investment, especially if you put AoE spells in there, because it helps everybody out, not just you.
Yeah. I was going to say it's like a more versatile version of, there's a item, I think it's an amulet, not a ring though, that's like super specific that all it does is block magic missile.
Oh, Breach of Shielding.
Yes. It's basically that, but way more useful because you can choose what it stops.
Yeah, and like counterspelling and dispel magic is pretty cool. And like, I mean, you know, the Technic League is like a league of mages. So I assume that's something we're going to get into a little bit more in book four, book five, book six, like is having a little bit more wizard fights. But yeah, no, it's like counterspelling is really clunky in Pathfinder 1 if anyone's tried to do it, because you have to identify the spell, have the spell prepared, and cast the spell as a counterspell action. This takes a lot of that out of it, which is neat.
Cool. Fancy.
So yeah, we've got some money here, and magic stuff doesn't go to guests. Sorry. Unless it's like four gloves that match.
I see how it is. That is messed up.
I'm sorry, is someone talking to me? Disc.
Lowercase K. Is there, I guess, like the Percepti-dos were kind of pursuant towards the whole post-fight Luton. Was there anything else in this room? Is there anything, does it tell us a story of the Gugs and their guggle?
I mean, it seems like this is where the Gugs live. It's unclear that there's really much more to it than that. They have some way of obtaining whatever those bodies used to be. And you can tell that there were probably some humanoids based on the possessions. But then the room kind of, there's a passage off on the eastern side that loops up to the north.
Let's check that passage out. So do they just like wade through this murky stuff all the time?
Yeah.
Are they just constantly damp?
Yeah, Gugs are nasty.
It's a Gug den. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a grody, stinky place. Like in this nasty water has just like vegetal bits of unidentifiable like fungus and plant and grossness floating in it all the time. It's touching your legs.
It's like constantly getting touched by seaweed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is actually what vegans eat, people. But
did you say vegans eat people?
You heard it here first.
No, yeah, but that's our secret. Don't tell anyone. I mean, true. Anyway, I imagine Brigsby's still, so he's just like sick the whole time he's there, right? Like he's got like an IV bag in with like Soylent and he's just dribbling vomit the whole time. Like he's still, the sickened is, strikes me as something that's going to persist as long as I'm wading through like compost water.
That seems like a fairly safe assessment.
All right, cool. Just wanted to make sure that my, anyway, I'm not feeling very good. It's gross.
As you loop around this passage up to the north, it goes on for a good 30-some feet, and then it kind of stops, but there is a hole in the floor that looks like it's a tunnel that sort of leads downward. The kind of thing you'd have to crawl through, unless you were a Yosoki, then you could probably walk through a little more comfortably.
Or a boneless snake with a swim speed.
Giant snake, yeah.
Is it like under the water, though?
Yeah, the water kind of drains through it, but yeah, it's grody.
When you say boneless snake, it just strikes me as boneless wings, like buffalo snake wings.
Oh, yeah. Tarassi will look at this hole and then back to the party and say,
there was a branch of the tunnels back there we did not yet explore. Believe we are of the normal operations. We try to clear out one floor before exploring another.
Yeah, this looks like a whole different endeavor. It just throws up a little bit more.
And then vomits. Yeah.
He just nods.
Yes.
It probably is a good idea to check the rest first. But when we do come back here, I have a spell that may be able to help with getting through there.
Can you do your, like, your foot magic that you do with the whole tracks and the tappy-dappy-doos of the footprints, the survival?
Do the foot magic.
Oh, yes. Foot magic.
I mean, you look at the footprints and you, like, pull out a story.
And you do magic.
No, it's definitely not an OnlyFans thing. Yeah, I can do a survival. It's not good, though. Be an 18 to see, I guess, you know, does it look like this hole, other than sludge drain, gets any sort of, like, has anything gone through here other than sledge recently?
It's very hard to tell. I think, like, the sheer levels of moistness involved make it very difficult for there to just be any, like, and any tracks, any sort of disturbance, like it would have been washed away by the water slowly flowing down there and all the different chunks of rotting vegetable matter and everything.
There's just too many chunks. Hard to say.
Known enemy of foot magic, the chunk.
It's like a bad, bad borscht.
Ah, yes, I concur with my, substantially better survival roll. There is no way to tell.
It's strange that I can hear the wind even this far in the cave.
And Kira will look at her sack and be like, maybe you should apologize.
I don't know what I should apologize for. I do not understand.
Of course you don't. Classic you. That is just classic you.
I am deeply sorry if anyone's feelings were hurt, or if anyone was offended by my actions.
Just read the fanfic. Wow. You'll understand.
Oh, I'm so excited for the fanfic.
I can't wait for who in our Discord's going to write that fanfic for us.
Who do you want to settle with the responsibility of writing the bricks for sex/fiction?
Yeah, not only are we now hyper-focusing and hyper-fixating, but we're assigning work. So obviously that's going to go to, well, you did already mention J-Rod, so J-Rod, I'm looking at you.
Congratulations.
Oh, no. So sorry, buddy.
So it sounds like we're backtracking.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Lost track of Hersek, but everybody walking on down to the south here through the Gug Room, which brings you back to that sort of circular room where there were three ways to go. There's the path that brought you in here, the path you just took, and then another one that leads off to the south.
I say we should probably check this path before we go back to the south.
Cool. Yeah, there's a path farther east that we didn't go up, and then there's this fork here also. This one's closer. Let's explore it.
It's going to stop moving where it widens here, because that's where the malevolent god of this game likes to have enemies show up.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Is that another hole, or is that like a sunbeam?
Well, as you come into this southern chamber where things widen up, the stone corridor opens into a long, dank cavern, the ceiling rising 20 feet overhead. The sound of dripping moisture echoes off the mold-covered walls. And you can see on the southern side of this room, like above Kira, up in the ceiling, there is like a 5-foot diameter hole. It looks like it leads up like through another tunnel off to where you cannot say. But on the other side of the room, there is a teeming team of Migo all grouped up together, almost as if they were waiting for intruders, just all in a big old group there. Oof. And, yeah, why don't we roll for initiative? Why don't we just, you know, get started? So, how about Alwyn?
Alwyn rolled a natural 1 for an 8.
Oh, nice and speedy. And Tarazi.
It's a dirty 20.
And Kira.
Also a dirty 20.
Hers is better.
Sounds suspiciously similar to the last round's thingy. Brixby.
A 25.
Dang.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know why it's not letting me adjust what order who's in, but we're going to begin combat as you see a full-on troop of me go in front of you, and Brixby is up first.
Okay. Well, yeah, this is kind of hard. I probably should have cast that spell ahead of time. Okay. Yeah, Brixby is going to come down and share a square with his friend Kira, moving to the south 25 feet on his disc. Yeah, this would be great for a fireball, but unfortunately that's not the type of AoE I have. However, what I do have involves fur and a glass rod, and I'm going to need reflex saves from the bottom three Migo as a lightning bolt from Marrow's book streaks across the cavern.
Well, the funny thing about these Migo is they kind of act as a group, so it's only going to be one reflex save for the lot of them.
It's a trouple? It's a troop?
But someone may have learned from running zillions of zills and may have adjusted course slightly. But that is, however, a really good reflex roll. That is a 27.
I mean, of course. Indeed. Indeed you did. Pretty sure this maxes out at 10d6 like the other one, right? Yep. Alrighty. So you're going to take half of this, which is just kind of a mixed roll. 31, so you're going to take 15 points of damage. If I had known you were a troop, I would have just done some sneak attack damage instead. Man. All right.
Well, it seems like it took more than 15 from that.
Oh, so sick.
You got that going for you.
And can I... Is there any sort of knowledge to describe their amalgamation?
I mean, you could do a knowledge check on the sort of idea of the troops. You've already done it on, what's it called, on Migo in general, but on what they're doing, I would take, I guess, still a knowledge nature on account of their, theoretically, plants.
So is it called a Wego when there's a bunch of them? All right.
Oh.
Whatever, I thought it was funny. Skynet. Okay.
I laughed.
That's a dirty 20 on nature.
Well, you can tell when they're acting as a sort of military unit, they basically stay in a fairly tight bunched formation, but they can spread out. They don't have to stay in that square. They can just move around. They become immune to flanking with their troop traits. They can't be staggered. They can't be tripped, grappled, bull rushed, or hit with single target spells. But they do take additional damage from area of effect spells.
So I'm glad I didn't do sneaky tacky damage because I barely remember troop rules.
It's a Wego. They're all together. Single target things are not nearly as good as area effects. They can spread out and we can't flank them. And also a bunch of the tricksy stuff doesn't work, Alwyn.
And that's my turn.
All right. Well, that will bring us once again to Hirsik Kayo, who I think he's going to head along the down to the sort of south left corner of the Wego swarm here. And he's just going to go for a single stabby do with his power attack and vital strike. And that will hit. So I have to figure out how many D6s that is. And they're immune to cold, so that affects the number of D6s as well. Alright, not too bad. It does 20 damage. And he's done, so that brings us to Kira.
Alright, Kira is going to rush forward and stand inconveniently in front of Hirsik. But he's not shooting anyone, so he won't mind. And going to attempt for a chainsaw. She's going to rage. She's going to hit with a chainsaw. It's going to be all the things. That is a math roll of 30. No, sorry, 32.
32 will hit.
Great. And she's going to go for the cleave, which she picked up like 3 levels ago and hasn't had a chance to use yet, or at least hasn't thought to use it yet.
Oh, sadly, she can't really use it on this one because it all is effectively one creature.
Ah, dang it. Okay, we're putting it back in the box. Pull out the cleave later.
It's still mint condition, though.
Yeah, it's a brand new cleave. Ugh, that's a lot of ones. 6, 9, 22. I've forgotten how numbers work. 31? 9 plus 22? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great. Ooh.
All right.
32 chainsaw damage on just the one guy.
All right, that's a good chunk of damage on this troop of Wego. Brings us to Snake Squad.
Does it look like they're thinning out already, or is this like a pretty hefty troop?
A little from column A, a little from column B. That was a non-trivial amount of damage in 3 hits, but...
Okay. Well, Tarazi is going to, for his standard, cast Lead Blades. So if he does get some hits, that, you know, they'll count a little bit more. And then he'll move up so that he's able to full attack next turn, hopefully. And then Levi will come up to behind Tarazi and just take a single bite at a swarm troop of bug aliens.
As one does.
Probably not the 19.
19 will not hit.
Yeah, that was yet another 4. No, that was a 5. Whew, much better. Alright. Moving on.
Alright, well, moving on from the Snake Squad, it brings us to the Wego Swarm, as they have been named. But I feel like this is an appropriate time for me to go to bed.
Boo.
It's not you go. It's we go to bed.
Okay, we can all go to bed.
Oh, no. They went.
Night, Sam.
Well, night, Sam and Samantha Ramsdell.
Night, 9-person group of Sams.
I've never seen Sam and Samantha the mouth. Moutherton in the same place ever, so they're the same to me.
Fair.
Good night to both of you. Solid close on that one.
Pod Against the Machine is property of Network Against the Machine, LLC, all rights reserved. Pathfinder and the Iron Gods Adventure Path are property of Paizo Publishing. See their website for more details. Theme Against the Machine was written and performed by your own Zach. See the show notes for additional music and sound licensing. If you enjoyed the show, we encourage you to leave us a review.
Can you tell me that damage amount again? Because I might have been reading something you sent me in Discord.
Okay. 41.
All right.
So mysterious.
Now I know it, and I know what you sent me in Discord.
So. All right. Just helping us out.
Boop. So, Okay. I found this on the web. Oh, my God. Siri. Wow. The machine against the pod. There.
Only one worse than my first one of words are hard, y'all.